Okay.
Good evening. Tonight's shiur is going to focus on the ikar that the Rambam spends more time discussing than any of the other 13 ikarim. That's the Yesod HaShvi'i. That's the uniqueness of the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. So, for example, in the Kapach's edition, in the Peish Mishnayos and Sanhedrin, it's two complete columns, and then maybe between a third and two-fifths of another column. Okay. By Yesod HaShvi'i, Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. After he discussed, and we dealt with this last evening, Yesod HaShishi, which is Nevuah, prophecy in general, above and beyond that, there's the prophecy of Moses. Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. For who shena min shu avien shall call hanavim she kadmu lefanov v'habayim achrov. In other words, he is the greatest of all the prophets in history. Call him lamat meno b'mala. Now we have very stirring language coming up. V'hu bechir Hashem mikol hamin ha'enoshi. When people talk about the Jews as the chosen people, Moshe was the chosen human being. The smartest person, the wisest person who ever lived, or whoever shall live. Asher hisig mimenu yis'ala yoser. What does that mean? It means he apprehended more of God. Mimashi hisig v'yasig kol adam shenimtza v'sheyimtza. V'shehu olav ha'shalom higi l'tachlis ha'romus mi'al ha'enoshius. He was so far above mankind that he was like an angel. Remember, according to Rama, angel means separate intellect, seichel nivdal. In other words, the bodily functions became really irrelevant, and he was all intellect. Shu olav ha'shalom higi l'sachlis ha'romus mi'al ha'enoshius ad shehisig hamala ha'malachis v'naseh v'malas ha'malachim. Lo nishar l'fanav shum masach shelo kro. There was no mechitza. There was no veil between him and, you know, understanding of God, you know, metaphysical knowledge that he didn't understand. Lo alzar bado shum matzar gufani. V'lo nishar bo shum devo min achisaron. Lo ma'at v'lo harbei. This is very important. The Rambam, of course, understands, and he's going to elaborate this a little bit here, does more elsewhere. The difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and the other prophets is all other prophets have, when they prophesy, it's a combination of their intellect and their imagination. But according to the Rambam, imagination is, at its essence, a physical bodily quality. We imagine based upon things we see with our senses, right? That's how imaginations happen, and then we can combine them and recombine them. So, for example, in the Mori is talking about Kalam, other philosophic schools, that they admit that things are possible even if they're not really possible. And he says they simply use their imagination. You see an elephant, you see a bird flying, so then you can put them together and imagine, hey, maybe there's such a thing as a flying elephant. So Mechilas quote Dumbo, there is no such thing as a flying elephant. So the point here is that the Rambam, again, is saying that the imaginative faculty of Moshe also was weakened. It was all intellect. V'lo nishar lefanav shum masach shelo kro, v'lo atzar bado shum matzar gufani, v'lo nishar bo shum davar min achisaron, lo ma'at v'lo harbei v'hushbusu, from the word Shabbos, it rested bo hakochos hadimyoniyim v'achushim kechol hasagosav v'nisbahel kocho hamis orer. He didn't have appetites, right? What makes this domain tomeya chai medaber? The chai has appetite for eating, drinking, and sexual intercourse. The Rambam wasn't like the Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't like that. V'nishar seichel bilvad, amazing. Val inyan ze amru olav shu medaber im Hashem bli emtzos hamalachim. In other words, obviously, God does not speak to a human being. God doesn't have a mouth, as some clay dibur, and you really can't talk about Moshe speaking with God. It basically, what it really is, it's like seichel to seichel. We'll get to that.
Pale. Does he differentiate between seichel and chokhmah between the das?
No. He has seichel. No. Kabbalistic stuff. Let's read this. Val inyan zeh. That's what it means. Omru alav shumedaber mashembli emtzos hamalachim. We'll see this in Mishnah Torah. How he develops this idea also. And he says, now the Rambam has an interesting digression. He says, I'd really like to talk more about this, but if I talk more about this, I'll have to write 100 pages, so I'm not going to talk about this. But the upcoming passage is the first oblique hint that he's working on another book, which many scholars believe this is what eventually became the Mar Nevuchim, which is remarkable. That shows that even in the Rambam finished Perek Mishnah when he was 30 in 1168, so he already was thinking of writing, or started to write, what became the Mar Nevuchim. He says, V'ratzisi levar kan zeh inyan hanifla, v'aforesh stumos psukei ha-Torah, v'avair inyan amru peh el peh, hola pasuk hazeh v'zula so minyano. We'll see, he does that Mishnah Torah also. Lule Shereisi, but it's too complicated. Sheninam Elu Dakim Ma'od, literally very thin. It means very, complex. Utsrichim Lachovim Aruba Vakdamos Need Prefaces Umishalim Shatzarch Levar Tchilas Metzios Hamalachim. Okay, so we know the secret is out. Rambam holds that Malach is form without matter, or just the Seichel Nivdal. The Shinuyei Malos Seif Nei Aborei. So I have to talk about Malachim. Chain Bir HaNefesh Kol Kol Chosel. I have to talk about all about the soul. V'Yisrachei V'Hekev Asher Negila Dabar LaTzuros Shiskir LaNivra LaBorei LaMalachim. Then I have to talk about the forms that Chezkel and elsewhere have about God. I have to explain that you don't take it literally. It's very funny. He's saying all the things that he would have to do, but he's doing it by talking about them briefly. Below Yaspik Linyan Zelavado Lafilo Akate Tachlis Hakitzer Meyodapim. V'lochein, I'm going to wait. Anichenu l'makomo o b'sefer bi'ure hadrosho shivtachti bo. Right? Either that's going to be my book, which I'm going to explain, the lashon of Chazal, how you don't take certain things literally, like we discussed, about the anthropomorphism, anthropopathism, etc. Either I'll talk about it there. O b'sefer ha-nevuah, the book on prophecy, she'eschalti l'chabro. So Rav Kappa points out, this probably is the genesis of what later became the Mor Nevuchim. That means he already started to write it. Because it's not true that Ram just did, Mishnah Torah, and then after he did his halachic work, only then he started working on philosophical topics. It's not true for many reasons. First of all, you see, even in Perek Mishnah, he discusses, like he's doing here, a lot of philosophical issues. But here, there's evidence that Sefer HaNevuah, if that indeed is the Mor Nevuchim, he was already dealing with these issues on a very profound level at his young age. Oh, b'sefer shachaveh perush elu ha-yesodos. Okay, let's go back to Moshe. He says, va'achso le'inyan ha-yesod hazeh ha-shvi. Omar will say, Shenavuas Moshe Rabbeinu Nivdala Menavuas Kol Shar Naviyam Ba'arba Hevdelim. There are four distinctions between Moshe Rabbeinu and the other Naviyam. Now, the other Naviyam, we already saw at least three of them when we read about the other Naviyam. Right? We'll discuss this about that. The other Naviyam are only when they fall asleep. Remember that? We discussed that. So he's going to read this again. By the way, I will read after the we see the Perek Mishnah and Mishnah Torah. Again, are there small differences between the two presentations? Yes. So in my judgment, they're really not major. There's no agenda behind it. It's essentially the same. We'll see. Maybe the order is different. No, but I don't think that's so significant. What's the first difference? Ha-hevdel ha-rishon. Shekol navi eze sheyeh. Ein Hashem adaber ito ki im al yedei emtza'i. There is an intermediary. This might be, he doesn't say here the seichel apoel, the active or agent intellect, but there's no communication directly from God to the prophet. Moshe b'li emtza'i k'mosh amar pel peh adaber bo. In other words, you don't take the words pel pel literally. The point here is directly, without the intermediary of the active intellect, which is the lowest of the 10 intellects of the spheres. Okay. The next three we've seen. Now, Hevdel Hasheni, Shakol Navi Lo Yavua Chazon Ela Bizman Hashena. When they're sleeping. Kmosh Abba Bekamel Komos Bachalom Halayla. Right? That's what the Yakba Yachalom, Achalom Chizion Laila, etc. And it's not an issue of night versus day. If it is during the daytime and the spirit of prophecy comes, they fall asleep. It's impossible to receive for any other Navi the overflow from the active intellect, which would mean a heightening of the intellectual faculties of a person, which perforce means a diminution of all other faculties, and you're up. If you're up, your body is moving, running, walking. It's impossible. Again, Vahevdel Hashen, Shakol Navi Lo Yivu Achazon El Zman Hashena, Kamosh Amu Bakamel Kamos, Bacholom Alayla, Vayachalom, Achlam Chizion Layla, etc. Vahabay Minyan Hazer, O Biyom Achar Tardeman, Ophelos Anovim, Sav Shbo Shovzum Kol Chushov, all his physical senses are resting. He can't see or hear or smell or whatever. Misro Kenis Machshavto Kain Shena, Matzav Zen Nikra Machazer Umare, a vision is when a person loses the ability of his five senses. During the day. Why is that? Because Moshe already had reached the level where his other faculties were so diminished and he was so purely intellect. Who omeid ben shnei akuvim kmo shivtichu Hashem no adi lechosham libarti itcha. Now, of course, he calls the psukim in Baloscha, which talks about the difference between Moshe and everybody else. Im yen viachem Hashem b'mare elav esvada b'chalom adaber bo. All other neviim have to be sleeping. Lochein abdi Moshe. And that's why the Ram writes that, for example, the story of Aaron and the three malachim, it was all a dream. The story of Yaakov and fighting with Sarah Shalei Sov, it was all a dream. Okay, that's two. So there's no, again, one, an intermediary with other Nevi'im, no intermediary with Moshe. All other Nevi'im have to fall asleep, or at night, when they're sleeping anyway. Moshe Rabbeinu, even by day. Hevdel Hashlishi, Shanovi Kasher Bolo Achazon, Va'af Al-Pi Yishuv Ma'areh Ba'idei Malach. What happens is there is also a weakening of all the bodily functions. Yechalshu kolchosav umischalchel gufo v'yeridu of mori. He thinks he's dying. Atzam od ki l'holech lamus. Kamo shebir b'daniel k'shadiber imo gavriel b'mare. Right, again, it's not that in the real life there was an angel with white wings, you know, like the Christians have the angel Gabriel that was talking to Daniel. It was all a vision. But in this vision, he thought he's gonna die. Omar Vilonish Arbi Kochi Koach, Vodin the Pachalal Mashris Lotzati Koach. Vomen Isi Nidon Aponai Pana Atam Bamenef Hutsiri Olai. All psukim in Daniel. When Moshe Eino came, Moshe could remain Moshe with this communication with God. And I'm adding precisely because his other faculties had diminished. El yivouhu adibur lotero chalcholo weakness cloud. Former yisalov diber Hashem Moshe ponim el ponim kashe diber ish el reyehu. So what does that mean? It's not that they were pals. Kolomar kashem shlo yera lo adam shum charada. If I speak to my friend, I'm not nervous. Yidiber chaveru. Kahu alav hashalom lohaya nechrad min hadibor. Vava bishu ponim v'ponim. Why? Now the Ram says it's because of Moshe's extraordinary intellect. V'zeh machmas chozek his chabru b'seichel k'moshe amarnu. And finally, what's the final distinction? V'hevdel haravi shakol hanavim lo yivom hachazon b'rtzonam. Ela b'rtzon Hashem. It's when God wants to. He can prepare and prepare, it's just not going to happen. We discussed the other time at the Mor Nevuchim that the Rambam says this is the one difference between his view and an Aristotelian view. And according to Aristotle, prophecy is exclusively a natural phenomenon. According to the Rambam, God can still choose the will of God to withhold prophecy. You could be prepared, just not going to happen. Now he's going to discuss Elisha, right, and the musical preparation. But it didn't have to be. Okay, now get ready. Aval Moshe Rabbeinu kol zman sheyitze amar, like he told the people who wanted to find out what the din by Pesach Sheni is. Imdu veshmo ma'itzav Hashem lochem. The amar is a drasha by Aaron and going to the Kodesh Kodashim. Zabel Aaron achicha v'al yovo b'chol eis. He cannot go every second into the Kodesh Kodashim, meaning he does not have uninterrupted access to the overflow of prophecy from God. Vama Aaron b'val yovo, v'ein Moshe b'val yovo. So again, the four differences are Moshe, no intermediary. It's like kaviyachol, seichel to seichel. Other neviim, the intermediary. Presumably the Sechel HaPoel. Other Nevi'im, they can't have Nehu by day. They sleep, right? And it's Tardemah. At night they're sleeping. Moshe Rabbeinu, even by day. Other Nevi'im, they feel as if they're going to die. There's a total weakening of all their bodily faculties. Moshe Rabbeinu, no weakening. And that is because, as he says, because Moshe Rabbeinu already was at the level that other Nevi'im would have to get to when their bodily faculties would weaken. And finally, other Nevi'im, their Nevuah is Beretzon Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu was there already. Okay, now let's turn to the Mishnah Torah. We can see some essentially the same thing. There are little differences. Mishnah Torah, of course, was written at least 10 years later. So he says as follows. This is Perek Zayin, Hilchos Yisori HaTorah, Halach HaVav. Kol Advarim Shamarno Him Derech Devuah L'chol HaNavim HaRishonim V'Achronim Chutz B'Moshe Rabbeinu. Now he adds some honorifics. Rabban Shel Kol HaNavim, the master of all the prophets. Uma Hefresh, what is the difference Yesh Bein Nevuas Moshe L'shol Kol HaNavim? So same thing. Here the order is different. Kol HaNavim B'Chalom V'Mareh Moshe Rabbeinu mistabevu air. He's up. Va'ome. Shinemar v'omoshe omor. The very tov v'shvatzah kovim the very love. Kol ha'neviim al yedei malach. Okay, that's what in Perish HaMishnah he called the emtsa'i. But the malach is like again the surah without chomer, the seichel nivdol. That's what it would mean. The fikach. Now, but then if I'm add something in Mishnah Torah, because it's not a direct like seichel to seichel transmission, therefore the prophet will get the communication by inputting his imagination also, and therefore it will be in the form of a riddle, for example, like we have before today. We discussed in the Shkavashi, we discussed the Nevuah of Yirmiyah, Makel Shaked, the Sir Nafuach. He'll have a vision of a boiling pot. He'll have a vision of a almond tree that's going to grow in 21 days. Right? That's because the other Nevi'im use their imagination, and that's what, when you have this, the lock in to the overflow from God and what they are bringing to it, it'll be in a certain imaginary form. Moshe is not like that. Right? Call on the beyond the malach lafikach. This is not a Perish Mishnah. This is added here. Roy Mashem, Roy Mashal Vachida. Moshe Rabbeinu lo yadei malach. Shenemar pel per daber bo. Venemar diber Hashem Moshe ponim el ponim. Venemar usmunas Hashem yabit. There's no need to see like a metaphor, something that can be understood metaphorically and interpret it. Moshe sees the thing itself, the fact itself. Lomar shein shem mashal. Ela roe hadover al burio blochida uvelo mashal. Who should Torah me the love? Umarev lo v'chidos. What are chidos? Chidos are riddles. So the Rambam is explaining that pasuk in Baloscha is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu does not receive a communication from God in the form of a, you know, it has to be explained, like, you know, Yecheskel with the Merkava, things like that. No, it is what it is. She'eino misnavi b'chida ela b'mareh. Meaning, what does mareh mean? It means clarity. She'reh ha'davar al buryo. Okay, now, you know, this, of course, al buryo, that allows us to compare this to say the Rambam is here merely giving a philosophical explanation to a famous Gemara, Maseches Yevamos, that all other Nevi'im are misnabe be aspaklaria she'eino mi'ira, like a cloudy mirror, and Moshe Rabbeinu is aspaklaria mi'ira. But the Rambam, of course, philosophically reinterprets this, meaning that all the other Nevi'im entailed imagination in their apprehension of prophecy. Moshe Rabbeinu was pure intellect. Let's go on in Mishnah Torah. Call on Avim Yurayim Levhalu Umismogigim. They get scared to death. That's from Mismogigim, of course, is from Oz Yashir. Namogu Kol Yoshvei Kanan. Moshe Rabbeinu Eino Kain. Hu Shekos of Omek, Ashay Dever Ishrayeyu Kolomar. Here, this is the same thing what he says in Peresh Mishnayos. Kamo Shein Adam Niva Lishmo Dever Chavero. Kachoy Koach Bedaida Shemoshe Rabbeinu Lahavin Dever Nevua. Women Amdo Shalem. And finally, the other thing, call on the vim aim stamam choleisha yirtze. Moshe Rabbeinu enokein calls one she yachbots. It's like, in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was always on. I think that's a good analogy. Ruach hakodesh lo vashto unavua shora olav. Vein atzarech lechav. Moshe didn't have to say, okay, I'm going to go in preparation, you know, like seclusion that we discussed the other time, the other neviim, you know, to get the halva. He didn't need that. And atzarech lechav in daito lizdamin la shayhu mechuva nemezuma vaomek kamalachi ashares lafikach misna bebechol eis shenema imdu veshmo maitzave Hashem lochem bozef ticho akel shenema lechem olhem shuvo lochem lo alechem. What's going on with that? After Har Sinai, he says, everyone could go home, you Moshe, stay with me. So this is the idea that Moshe no longer had sexual intercourse with his wife anymore. He was always on the level of going beyond human relationships and being with God. Hala Madata, Shekol HaNaviim Kishanavua Mistalekes Mehem Chozrim Li'ahalam, which means, it's a euphemism for resuming family life. Shud sarche aguf kulam kishara am lafikach ein parshim minishosehem. But Moshe Rabbeinu, no. Once he had achieved that remarkable state, right, of being just about, can't say totally because he still was in flesh and blood, just about pure seichel, he never went down from that state. Moshe Rabbeinu lochaz la'olah harishon lafikach. Parash min ha'isha le'olam, whom we call a domelah. V'nikcher adaita le'tzur ha'olam, v'lo nistalik me'olav ha'hod lo'olam, v'karen arpanov. Rambam's getting poetic here. V'niskadesh kamalachim. He became holy like a seichel nivdal is holy. Okay, remember, malachim in the Maimonidean interpretation. Now, this of course leads us to what the chayit of Miriam was. Shechter once said, in explaining how the Rav talked about it, Miriam really wasn't a chayit in midos, it was a chayit in deos. Now, it's certainly wrong to say lashon hara, right? But why did Miriam get the punishment that she did? Because she misunderstood the uniqueness of Moshe's relationship with God. Lo chein avdi Moshe. Moshe was not like one of the other prophets. Remember, Miriam did not say, ki isha kushis lakach, means, it's not the issue of who was his wife, was it Tzipor, was it someone else, that's not the point. The point is that Miriam did not understand that her brother was above and beyond any other prophet. That was the chayit of Miriam. Remarkable idea. So again, the Rambam and again, the Rambam, the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu also is entailed in the Rambam's interpretation of the one chet of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Mei Meriva. Right? Rabbi Nachman Mendel Kasher has in Torah Shleimah like 25 different explanations of what the chet was. What was the chet according to the Rambam? It's Shimu Na Hamorim. For that one time, he got anger, he got enraged. Rage? That's the one time he lost it. He was supposed to be always on. He's supposed to be divested of all human emotions of anger and annoyance and all those issues. That's it. So that's it. Moshe lost it. He couldn't go to Israel.
That's okay.
Okay. Right. Well, that's
the tablet.
Yeah. Okay. Look, that's an old question. Why that is spoken? Well, let's put it this way: the Torah says that was it. So we have to find what was in Parshas Chukas. I think the Rambam, when he discusses that in Shmona Prakim, that's the Pirkei Avos only has 6 Prakim, and one of them is really just the Brisa, but the Rambam's introduction to Pirkei Avos is 8 chapters. But in other words, he used the word that Kabbalah translates like, you know, Raksonis, it's like enraged. You know, so one way of understanding it is that he got even more angry than angry, you know. But then the Rambam adds something else in Shmona Prakim. The Rambam says there, it's not just that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry and he, you know, went down, you know, he was not up to his usual status, but he caused indirectly the people to make a theological mistake about God. Remember, I think we discussed this a little bit once. If we are always supposed to imitate God, so that's why we try to extirpate our emotional passions. First Rambam says you go the middle path, Shril Hazav. And then for Kas and Gava, you just somehow just get totally beyond it. So the people could think, well, Moshe is always imitating God. If Moshe gets angry, that means God gets angry. And that's a theological error, because God never gets angry. So according to the Rambam, Moshe's sin was not just that he was not acting as an appropriate leader, right? It was also theological. He could cause the people to make a theological mistake. This, by the way, also, I would say, also helps understand why you would not say that Tzolim B'Kosh Achet Lahem Atzolahem would be the sin, because that was private. Therefore, there was not, even though that was a deficiency in Moshe, it would not lead to the people making a theological mistake. Okay. In any event, this is the great Rambam where he talks about the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And I want to add something else here. Obviously, the Rambam believed this because it was true. Having said that, this also serves a very important function. This is part of the Jewish-Islamic polemic. Right? Remember, Islam has the idea that Moshe was a prophet, but Muhammad was the highest. You know, Moshe was a prophet, Jesus was a prophet, and Muhammad was the highest of all the prophets. Oh. So in other words, by the Rambam saying it's only Moshe, right, and no one before him nor after him will ever attain that level of greatness, he perforce is thwarting any argument which would say, okay, yeah, you know, I see where you're going. You know, you have the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. That was good for its time. We've now superseded it. Now, you Jews only daven 3 times a day. We Muslims daven 5 times a day. No, because the Rambam said Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest prophet and the greatest Navi whoever had lived or whoever will live. Okay, so that has the effect of thwarting any Muslim polemicist. Okay,
but this he knows from revealed religion, right? This isn't.
Okay, you're right. He says Shena'amin Shu'avien Shel Kol Hanavim.
That's not this is not Neda. There's no
right. Right. That's you're right. In fact, even in Shishi says Ladas. No, but again, our Torah is based upon this. Well, let's put it this way: But I will make the following point. Again, the Rambam believes in the double faith theory, right? So it is certainly not an absurdity to believe, right, that based upon the principle of plenitude, that there will be one person who will be the smartest person ever, right? So who is that one person? So by the time we see the psukim in the Torah, so the Torah tells us, Umarev lo v'chidos, by the time you finish interpreting Parshas Baloscha, that is the interpretation of what's going on. So in other words, there is, remember, the Rambam said, that's he's going to say, even when we get to the Chiyas HaMeisim, the Rambam will not accept the literal interpretation of anything which is absurd. There's no absurdity in claiming that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest human being who ever lived. So therefore, his receipt of communication from God, which then transmitted in terms of the law, the most perfect organization for a society, right? That we're going to get to that now. I'm going to segue into that, at least the beginning, for the Torah. So therefore, we can understand why this will be the most perfect law, because it was the most perfect being who had the most perfect apprehension of God. So in other words,
that it's revealed religion that tells us it's Moshe, not Muhammad.
That is fine. The Rambam starts with his double faith theory. The Torah is also a source of truth. But I will add something. In the Mor Nevuchim, of course, the Rambam, obliquely hints at Muhammad when he says that a Navi cannot, it is absurd. It is philosophically absurd for a Navi, for someone who is like a licentious person and has horrible moral traits, which would be, extreme sexual appetites, to be a Navi. That's a philosophical point. And the Rambam, according to many scholars, is obliquely hinting at Muhammad. Right? So one second. So, if you have a choice, remember, the Rambam understood that Islam is not a violation of the first five Ikarim. On the contrary, they also say there is a God. The God that is one. The God that is totally corporeal. The God that is prior, Hakanus, to the whole universe. The one incorporeal God that is and is prior to the universe, the only being which is fit to be worshipped. There is such a thing called prophecy, which is, again, essentially the Aristotelian way, but, a little modification that God can withhold it. Now, again, prophecy is not easy. It's not like the fools say God could just decide whoever wants the prophecy. And the Rambam stresses in Ikar HaShishi that you have to be morally upright. Right? Bali kishronos v'futachim or shleimus gadola. Right? So if moral depravity, if a person is morally depraved, he can't be a Navi. Going around, Bilam was not a Navi. He was on a much lower level. So Muhammad, right, according to the philosophic definitions of the Rambam, can't make it as a Navi. Okay, so one second. So, in other words, if you are asking, well, which double faith, granted the Rambam, like all medieval Jews, like all medievals, we're not talking about people in China, all medieval people in the West had double faith theory. I know what I know is true because it is rational and because the text of my judicial text says so. So if I have the question, should I be a double faith Aristotle plus Judaism, or should I be a double faith Aristotle plus the Quran? Well, since the Quran comes from Muhammad, and Muhammad did not have the requisite requirements to be a prophet, perforce he must have been a false prophet. Remember, the Rambam does not, even if the Rambam does not necessarily eliminate prophecy from non-Jews. He does not necessarily eliminate prophecy from in any time. Right? Rambam always says only today, because in the Gullus we can't. We're so nervous. We're running from country to country, right? But so So at the end of the day, given the Rambam's perspectives, it is fair to say that the way he works it out, this Yesod Hashvi is philosophically justifiable, and it is what the Torah says. So it's both. Now let me add one thing. I think Rav Shach once quoted Shem the Rav. It goes like this. Sometimes a person will have, there'll be a historical reason why you want to emphasize something. But that doesn't mean that the doctrine per se is false because of that, right? It's so here. So let's take the story of the Newtonian laws of physics. Let's bracket Einstein and 20th century development, right? So all the story about the apple hitting Newton on the head, and then again gravity and every action is equal opposite reaction. So just because the apple hit Newton on the head, and he started to think of these issues after the apple hit him on the head, doesn't mean that his laws are not true. Okay? Now what's the Nimshol to our case? It might very well be that the length of the Rambam's Ikar of Ikar Hashvi'i is what it is because of the challenge of Islam. But that surely does not mean that it is not true because of that. Okay, so that's a very important point. Okay, you know, we have time. Let's even now look at Yesod Hashmini, which is also connected to Yesod Hashvi'i. This, of course, is Torah Min HaShemayim. There is something called prophecy. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest prophet who ever lived, who ever shall live. And this prophet apprehended not a metaphorical prophecy about almond trees or bubbling pots or chariots. He apprehended the law, the most perfect type of organization for human beings. Let's read this. Hayesod Hashmini hu Torah min haShemayim. Vehu shena'amin shekol haTorah hazu nimtzeis biyodeinu hayom hazeh hi haTorah shenitna leMoshe. So again, not mi pi hagvura. It's not God doesn't have a mouth. Kolomar. So he says, obviously, it's only metaphorical. It was like, again, seichel to seichel. Shegia elav kula meyez Hashem haga'ah shekorot aderech hasha'ala. We have no other way to say it, dibur. That means every time it says, this is a revolutionary in its own right. Vaydaver Hashem Shelly Moore, right? So it's not deep. Let's like this. If you're Moshe and someone else hears, it's not clear that the other person heard anything. Right? You know, usually when I talk to you, if you are in sufficient proximity, you will hear what I say to you. But that's physical dibur. Okay? By the way, there's a Radak. The Radak in Shmuel talks. Dr. Shmuel talks about the case with, you know, Shmuel and Eli, right? Shmuel was like in the, you know, the Mishkan, like in the room there, and Hashem is calling Shmuel, and Shmuel goes to Eli, did you call me? Oh, I didn't say anything. And finally Shmuel gets it, and that means Eli didn't hear anything. That's what Radak says. Again, we believe that Nevuah is true, and it's possible. So, but the communication is not physical communication. Now, obviously, somebody can hallucinate and think that he is receiving prophecy, but we assume, right? We believe, that it actually was a communication. But that's it. There's no external difference between the true prophet and the hallucinator. That's an important point. But we still accept that it's true. Shekorna zolder chashala dibur ven yodea echus osa ago elohu alav hashama shegi alav. Now here the Rambam uses an expression that, as far as I know, he does not use in his later works. It was picked up by the Ramban who uses his own Kabbalistic twist to it. Shehu b'malas lavlar. Moshe was like a scribe, writing down what God told him. Shekor in the fun of v'u kosev kula. Taricheho sipureha misaseh. Moshe wrote down the whole Torah. The Ramban, in the beginning of his commentary on Bereishis, he has the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it, but it's much different. It's a Kabbalistic presentation. Ramban writes in his beginning of his commentary to Sefer Bereishis, Moshe Rabbeinu kasav ha-sefer hazeh im ha-Torah kula mipiv shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And then he says, Valkarav shekasav har Sinai, etc., etc. And then he says, V'nkei v'atara yechlol ha-sipur mitchilas bereishis kiumor anoshim baderech be'inan he'emuna. Then, and the Ramban says, when he came down from the mountain, and he wrote the rest in the 40th year. Gemara Torah kasav b'sof shnas harboyim kasher omar, etc., etc. And then he goes on. But it's fascinating how the Rambam, I would not have expected the Rambam used the lashon of lavlar, a scribe. The Rambam indeed does that here. V'oshu b'malas lavlar shekorim lefanu mukosev kula tarecheh yivreh mitzvaseh chinuch mechokek. We had that in Sanhedrin. We talk about the Bnei Bavel is l'yosid shevet miYehuda. That's Yehuda Nasi, that political power. Mechokek miben raglav's Yisrael is more like the lawgiver. It's not as politically powerful. So that's mechokek. That Moshe Rabbeinu was the paradigm of mechokek. Now the Rambam makes the point. The Torah is like one mikshachas. There's no difference between the Aseres Hadibros and the genealogies. Of course, the Christians, of course, made that distinction. Vein hevdel bein ubnei chom kushim etzrayim putu kanan or v'shem ishto advel bas trade. That's in Devarim. Oh, Anochi Hashem. Oh, no. That other pasuk was with Bnei Esav. Oh, Anochi Hashem. Ushma Yisrael Hashem, Kedem Hashem Echad. Hakol Mipi Hakvura. Vakol Toras Hashem Tamima Tahora Kedusha Emes. Now the Rambam says, how did Menashe, the bad king, not Menashe, the son of Yosef, how did Menashe, the bad king, be deemed to be a kofer? Lonase Menashe etzlam, meaning according to Chazal, kofer upoker Yosef or kofer acher elafisha chashash yesh b'torah toch uklipa. Right, it's not that there is a important part like of a fruit and a part you discard. She'elu hatarichim vasipurim ein toeles bohem uMoshe midaito amram. No. Rather, Moshe received the whole Torah as a unit from God. V'zeh inyan, and now he goes back to what this whole list of 13 karm is doing in Maseches Sanhedrin in the first place. It's people that don't get Olam Haba, and one of them, which according to the Rambam is, fascinatingly, means you haven't like refined your intellect with enough correct propositions to merit Olam Haba equals immortality of the soul equals eternity of the intellect. One of them is a Omer Ein Torah Min HaShamayim. No, so if you don't realize that the most perfect book of social organizations of human beings was apprehended, wasn't written, wasn't a human product, but it was apprehended by Moshe from coming down from God. So Zenin ain't Torah Shemaim, Omer Shua, Omer Shakolator, Kulumpi Kodesh Baruch Hu, Chutz Min Pasuk Echad. See, it's like one miksha. That's the whole point. See, the Navi understands essences. Right? You put it all together. E equals MC squared. So I think by the same token, you have to understand the document is a divine document. Oh, that's dash. God forbid. So Allah Shemimasha Omrim Hakofrim. Ela kol os sheba yeshba chachmos and the flaws for me shavino Hashem. And the wisdom of the Torah is, you know, it's like a parabola, it's asymptotically increasing. It's beyond human comprehension. Lo susak tachlis chachmasa, arucha me'eretz midah rachavim mineyam, vein la'adam ela lispalu, could only try to apprehend it. Kmo David, Mashiach l'kei Yisrael, shispalel, galinai vabita neflos b'tar secha, uncover the blindness in my eyes that I can understand your law. Okay? So again, you see how according to the Rambam, the ikar of Torah min Hashamayim is intimately connected with the ikar of the greatness and the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu, which itself builds cumulatively on the ikar of prophecy. Then he makes another point. This is an anti-Karaite polemic he's sticking in now. The chein perusha hamukubal gamhum epi agvura. Again, this is simply, I mean, you take this on faith, but once you have so much of the system, we'll take this aspect too. Vizeh, sha'anu osim hayom tsuras hasukkah. I discussed that. Is that three in the tefach, two in the tefach? Va'lula, va'shofar, va'tzitzis, va'tfilim. Remember the end. Vizula sam, hi atzva hatsur she'omar. Now obviously, Omar is not to be taken literally here. Hashem l'moshe v'amalanu. V'hurak movil shlichus neman. Right, remember, the pasuk says Moshe was shlach malach. Right, say in Mitzrayim, there malach means Moshe. Moshe was the shliach. V'masha hevi. Now, with all the other ikrim, he always had some pasuk in the Torah that says this. Right, remember we had the Yisod HaRishon was Orochi Hashem Elokecha. Yisod HaSheni, Shema Yisod Hashem Ken Hashem Echad. We saw the Shlishi was, you know, Mitadamyunev Hashavet, etc. Mitadamyunev. We saw the Haravi, Mona Elohei Kedem. God is prior to everything. We saw the Hachamishi, obviously, that's the idea of Tefillah. So the Shishi, you have all the Psukim, and we saw the Hashvi'i, all the Psukim which deals by the difference between Moshe and everybody else. So what, is there any... is there any pasuk in the Torah that, based upon these presuppositions, can be saying that there's Torah Mishamayim? That's a great question. The answer is yes. The Hadibur Hamore Al Hayesod Hazeh Hashmini Hu Omru when Moshe fought with Korach. Bizos Teidun Ki Hashem Shalachani, etc. Kilo Mi Libi. This, what I am, my role is not something I'm giving to myself. I got it from God. So the Ram says that entails that the law he presented to the people, right, was a law that he had apprehended from God. Amazing. Now, I just want to add a couple of things. I mentioned before the principle of plenitude, any possibility will eventually happen once. So in other words, within the range of human beings throughout history, there will be the greatest human being. So Ram says that's Moshe. So I mean, Professor Nachum Kellner wrote an essay, according to the Ralbach, the question is, could there ever be another Moshe Rabbeinu? Right? So, but again, according to the Rambam, the answer is no. He discusses it according to the Ralbag, if the Ralbag, at least on this point, does not, he doesn't obliterate, can't obliterate. The You have, if you read the Pesukim, the Torah, you will see V'lo kam naviv Yisrael k'moshe, right? You know, like Moshe Rabbeinu. So that is certainly a given. But according to the Ralbag, you don't have the same distinction between Moshe Rabbeinu and everybody else that you have in the Rambam. So then you could raise, according to the Ralbag, maybe there could be another person later on as great as, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu. He discusses that he has an article on that topic, but in any event, according to the Rambam, the answer is certainly no. V'lo kam navi od b'Yisrael k'moshe asher yado Hashem panim el panim. Let me mention two other points. The Rambam writes that Mashiach will not be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. So let's look at that in Hilchos Tshuva.
The greatest man who ever lived,
and whoever will live, and
will live.
Right.
So,
of course, right. I'm saying so.
So it applies.
Yeah, of course. He just says it up front. One second, please. Yeah, here it is. This is Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Tes, Halacha Beis. The point of Yimos HaMashiach so that we can develop our intellects. Torah says it, right? Lasuk b'Torah, study the law, uva mitzvos, and Yavu b'Chachma, we have to study more physics also. This he says in the last verse in Mishnah Torah. What will this Mashiach be like? Sheyamod mizera David, bal chachma yieh. Yes, I mean Shlomo. He'll be smarter than Shlomo. The Navi Gadol who Karov LeMoshe Rabbeinu. Okay, close, but not quite. Ulafikach Yelamed Kol Ha'Om VeYora Osam Derech Hashem VeYavol Kol Ha'Goyim LeShlomo SheNemar VeYo Bachris Ha'Imim Nachon Yeh Harbeis Hashem Rosh Ha'Harim. That's the point. The point is, return of the intellect. In other words, you know, Geshem Sholem writes about there is like revolutionary messianism and restorative messianism. According to the Rambam, it's just restorative. You go back to Israel, there'll be peace, we could develop ourselves, and that's enough. El Shamalchus, Tachsa L'Yisrael, V'kvar Omru Chachamah HaRishonim, Ein Beina Olam Hazeh, Nimos HaMashiach, El Shibud Malchios Bilvad. Okay. Finally, one other point, is Agav Urcha, not just the Rambam, but the Ralbag and other people, they minimize Shlomo. You know, they're a psukim that they're a psuk. It says lo kam navi Yisrael like Moshe. There are psukim that sound like Shlomo HaMelech was the smartest person who ever lived or shall live. But the Rambam, you know, doesn't. Again, even Mashiach will be smarter than Shlomo. But Professor David Berger wrote an essay a little bit on in the Sefer Yovel for Dr. Lamb on King Shlomo's wisdom in the eyes of different people. So the Ralbag, who I studied, he really minimizes Shlomo. He says that Shlomo Melech was the smartest person in three generations. The generation before, that's Lefanov, his generation, and the following generation, and that's it. So that's very interesting. In other words, let me just read. I'll read. I'll. I'll I read Psukim.
His wisdom is the one we identify with.
Well, who's we? Depends, you know, again. You know, Rabbi Yosef has been that. Second? Right, so Shlomo wanted here. Hinei Yosisi kidvarecha after the dream. Hinei Netzadilcha lev chacham navon kasher kamoch lo yola fanecha. Right? Sounds like no one will ever be as wise as Shlomo. Gama shalosha alta nasati la kamosha gam kovra shaloy kamoch ish blochim koyamecha v'im telech v'drachay l'shmochugi v'tzalsayka shalach David avicha l'rachni es yamecha. Rabak says, you know, Shlomo Melech was the smartest person three generations. He had, let's say, 100 years, even 120 years, but that's it. Again, Moshe, nothing is ever allowed to stand in the way of the absolute greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, we'll stop here. And Mr. Shem.